read chapter 1. We're going to close out the chapter here. Haven't been back. Preached 2 messages there and haven't been back in a little while, but I feel like tonight I should be coming back there. So read chapter 1, verse number 19. If you'll stand, would you find your place there if you ever stand? Verse number 19, let's read a few verses to you. Close out this chapter. So verse number 19 of Ruth chapter 1. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi? See, the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me." So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. We've covered a little bit of ground here in Ruth already. I know it's been a little while since we've been there, so I'm going to try to do a quick review to get you back up where we are. We've preached just 2 messages out of here, out of chapter 1 already. We saw the first 5 verses. In the first message, we talked about the people and the places there mentioned in the first 5 verses and the problems. We saw the problems with the bride. We saw the problems with the bereavements, those that passed away. We saw where Elimelech messed up his family. We saw where his 2 boys said, "It's good enough for Dad, it's good enough for me." It took the same path, made their home there. We saw where Elimelech sojourned, verse number 1, or I believe that's maybe 2. And we see where he sojourned, and he continued. But then he died. And because of his sojourning, his continued, says his sons dwelled there. He sojourned, he decided to continue, and his son says, "We'll just dwell here." They built a home. Elimelech may have had plans to eventually leave, but Mahlon and Chilion dwelled there. They built a home in Moab because of their father's choices, because there is the choices he made, his influence on them. They never had plans to leave. It never references that they have any plans to leave. They set up house, they set up home, they married wives from there. They dwelled in Moab. It's good enough for Dad, it's good enough for us. How dangerous that can be, how it affected their entire family. We preached about that. We had to be careful. Then we saw the reason we need to hear about the bad part of his family. The rest of this book is all good. It's all good, wonderful things and grace. And once you get past chapter number 1, this especially these first 5 verses, we read these terrible choices made by Elimelech and his death and his son's death and these dark things that happened in that family. We talk about why do we have to cover that? Because you can't get right until you realize you're wrong. You can't get saved until you realize you're lost. You can't come back to Canaan until you realize you're in the wrong place in Moab. We talked about that. Then we saw the choice they had to make. Orpah and Ruth, they were both faced with the same decision. Naomi is there in Moab. She made some choices to come back. She decides it's time to get back right. Time to get back to the center of God's will again. I mean, these 2 Moabite girls, these heathen girls, they have to decide what they're going to do as well. We see Orpah's decision, like the lost person, the heathen, just take the easy road. Then we see Ruth's decision, her decision to give up everything and go after God and follow Naomi. And Naomi's God would be her God. She decided to follow the one true God. She didn't care what she had to let go of her history, let go of her religion, let go of everything she knew to follow Naomi in the Canaan land. She was willing to do that. Because in verse number 16 of this chapter we covered before, and Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. Lord, do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." See, Ruth, her statement made to Naomi there, her promise, her pledge. What did Ruth do? She made up her mind. She was going to go with God no matter the cost. She didn't care what the obstacle came, what trouble came her way. She was going to go with God, going to go with Naomi, for the first time ever, get to Canaan land, go back with Naomi. And I preached that message entitled, "What's Your Choice? What are you going to decide? Are you going to live for God or not?" Tonight, I'm going to close out this first chapter of Ruth. I've been trying to get back here for a couple weeks, and the Lord didn't give me peace about it until tonight to get back here again. But I believe it's what the Lord has for us here tonight. We see tonight our path back to Bethlehem. Naomi, she's lost it all. She's headed home. Ruth takes a stand, decides to go with her. They make their journey to Canaan land. Naomi's finally coming back home, but she's not the same as she was when she left. Naomi is running on empty. That's the way I put it here tonight. Any of you ever run on empty before? Run some cars on empty before? Not very fun. Thankfully, I always had a gas can with me. Not a good thing to run a car on, even worse, don't run your boat on empty. Pretty important around here. Even more important than that, the spiritual life. That's the part I'm trying to get to. I believe we have a lot of folks today running on empty spiritually, run out of God. Some have gone into sin. They spent some time in sin, as Naomi did here. And now sin has left them hurt, left them strained, left them empty, left them running on empty. That's the position we find Naomi here in the end of this passage. Let's go ahead and read those verses again, starting in verse number 19. It says in verse number 19, say, two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out forth, and the Lord hath brought me home and get empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath dealt testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned to the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem, the beginning of barley harvest. See a few things here in these last few verses. Number one, we see the steadfast return. There in verse number 19, they return back to Canaan land. We see verse number 19, it says, So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. Notice their return. Notice Ruth's decision. She decided to stay with her, stay with Naomi. And that's what she did. Doesn't mention anything else about it. It says Ruth made up her mind, and she never said anything else about it. She just went with her, went with Naomi. There was no change of mind, no change of heart. They just went. We see Ruth's decision, verse number 16 and 17, verse 19. So they went to Bethlehem. No further discussion. I preached here before on this passage here between Moab and Bethlehem, the distance between Moab and Bethlehem. The Bible just says, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. What it doesn't mention here is how far apart Bethlehem and Moab are. That's a big difference. It just says, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. There's a lot that took place in those few, and so they came. There's a long distance to travel there. It's not just a quick walk across the park. This was a journey. Remember, Naomi is up in age by this point. She's an older lady. This is no easy trip. Let's look at some geography here. It's not in the scriptures. Let's see what understand the passage we're reading here. What's the geography between Moab and Canaan land? We have to understand what we're talking about. This Bethlehem, Judah, is said to be about 2,000 feet higher in elevation than Moab. They had to climb a mountain to get to Canaan land. Not only that, if you look at a map between the two of them, there's a big body of water stuck in between Canaan land, between Bethlehem, between Moab. It's a Dead Sea. So they walked completely around the Dead Sea. They couldn't walk through it. They had to walk around the Dead Sea, 2,000 feet up in elevation, with an old lady. No offense, she's an elderly lady. They had to walk all the way around. Y'all don't get offended over there. Don't be a Moab. You ain't got to walk Canaan land. Not only that, there's another body of water in the way. You ever heard of the Jordan River? Cross the Jordan River again in Canaan land. So not only did they walk around the Dead Sea up in elevation, they crossed the Jordan River. Depending on where they were in Moab, there's another river. Depending on where they were, north and south in Moab, there's a river Arnon right through the middle of Moab. They may have had to cross that river as well, depending on where they were living. I don't know. The scripture doesn't mention any sort of donkey or anything. The condition Naomi's in, I doubt she could afford two pennies to rub together. Everything's gone. These ladies are most likely on foot the entire trip. I read this trip could take anywhere upwards of 7 to 10 days for a normal person because of the obstacles and the different things in the way on foot. Ruth did not just decide to join in with Naomi and Naomi's God and have an easy trip to the will of God. It wasn't all roses for her. She decided to go with God and she had a battle first thing. She had a journey to take first thing. Ruth had a journey ahead of her. She had a job to get there. Don't ever think just because you're living for God, that life's going to be easy. Yes, the Lord may bless, and I always love it when He does bless. We always look for that and long for that. We talked about this morning about Job. The Lord ended up blessing Job. Job went through a lot of trials before that blessing ever came in the end. Went through a lot. Just because you're on your way to Canaan land doesn't mean it's going to be easy. We see their steadfast return. It's not an easy task to accomplish. They had their minds made up. It didn't matter what it cost. No matter what sacrifice they're going to have to make, they're going to go where they ought to be, going to get right with God. It's your steadfast journey. If you're going to live for God in our day and age especially, you better have your mind made up before the trials come, before the journey comes. You may have your mind made up of what you're going to do. Satan's going to send every obstacle he can to try to trip you up and change your mind. And on your way to the Canaan land, you've got to have your mind made up. We see Ruth's heart in verse 16 and 17. That was her heart and it didn't change. It didn't change her mind. No matter what the path you had to take to get there, it didn't change your mind. Are you committed to serving God? Are you that committed to following the Lord's will? You personally, look, examine your own heart. I can't say it for you. Examine your own heart. Are you that committed to following the Lord's will? Are you that committed to being the sold out, spirit-filled Christian life? It's going to take sacrifice. It's this steadfast return. You see, there's stirring reaction. Verse number 19 again. The rest of it. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Notice they get back to town and it did not go unnoticed. Naomi was apparently a popular woman before she left. Everybody knew her. It says all the city was moved about them. That all the city, it means all the city. Everybody there moved about them. The entire town noticed that Naomi was back in town. Not only Naomi, she brought somebody with her, brought a Moabite. I'm sure there was some gossiping going on in that town. Maybe not in Bethlehem, but if it was Craig, there'd be some gossiping going on in town. You better believe it. Did you hear who showed up in town the other day? You see what they were wearing? You see who they had with them? With all the wrinkles? And now she's got gray hair? Is this Naomi? Everyone apparently knew Naomi before she left. She gets back to town after we don't know how long, minimum of 10 years at least, it says. Could have been more after the sons died. We don't know. She's been gone for a while. She comes back into town, the entire town circles around her and they say, is that Naomi? Is this Naomi? Is that you, Naomi? Naomi, you look a lot different. Naomi, where's Elimelech? Naomi, where's your two boys? Who's this Moabite girl, your brother? What's happened? Naomi, is this Naomi? Notice Naomi's response. Verse 20. And she said to them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. The name Naomi, you probably know it means pleasant, pleasantness. It says, is this Naomi? Is this the pleasant one? You don't look very pleasant anymore, Naomi, is basically what they're telling her, what they're implying. She says, call me Mara. The name Mara means bitter. Naomi says, don't call me pleasant, call me bitter. Sin has a way of changing you, making you bitter. Sin always has a way of aging you. Sin always has a way of making its mark on you. Her backsliding not only made her lose her husband and her two sons and lose one daughter-in-law, but it changed her appearance. You go and lose a husband, two sons, and a home and a heritage, and you see it would probably make you bitter as well. It would make me bitter as well, I'm sure. I don't know about you, but I'd rather learn the easy way. Learn from her, learn from Naomi. Don't learn it the hard way. You've heard that old saying, sin will always take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And that's what it did to Naomi. Naomi is spiritually bankrupt. She's about to say that she's empty. She's running on empty. She's lost it all. She's returning back home empty. How many people in our nation, even in our community, are running on empty? Sin has taken everything from them. Sin has taken their families. Sin has taken hurt their spouses. Has taken their children. Has split up homes. It has changed them personally, changed their appearance, changed their attitude. How many bitter people do we meet that have been beaten down by sin? Sin will do that to you. You live a life of sin, it'll show on you. It'll be obvious to see. It'll tell on you. People will notice. We see her stirring reaction. She was not the same she used to be. Sin had made its mark on her life. Entire town are amazed that this is her. She's not what she used to be. Young people especially, you better listen to that. Take note. You leave the tender care of the will of God and this sold-out, spiritual Christian life. You leave that and go off into the world on your own. Try to live in Moab for a little while. It's going to leave its mark on you. It's going to cause pain and suffering. It's going to leave some scars. It's going to cause pain that you can't get rid of. It's going to hurt. It's going to make you. It's going to change things. Sin will hurt. Sin will affect. And sin will leave its mark. Be careful. You see there, her sorrowful retribution. Verse number 20 again, the last part. And verse 21. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Notice she's not afraid to tell her testimony. She says, I messed up. And Lord, punish me for it. She says, yes, Lord Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full and now I'm empty. I went out, came back empty. I don't have what I used to have. I left Canaan land with God's blessing in my life. I left with a husband and a home and two boys and excitement about the future. I left out pleasant because then the Almighty has afflicted me. He's emptied me out, taken everything I had. God Almighty allowed things to be stripped from Naomi. It says right here in the scriptures, God Almighty took things from Naomi. She has lost a lot of things before she was willing to come home and get it right. I ask you now, what would God have to take away from me and you in order for us to get us to come back home? If we were living in Moab, what would God have to take away for us to get right? If we were backslidden, what would God have to take away for us to get right? What would it take to get our attention? It's something to think about. Are you listening to the Lord? Are you sensitive to His call? Are you sensitive to the Spirit of God and what God would have you do? I wonder how many times, I don't know, reading between the lines, I wonder how many times God, still small voice, spoke to Naomi, told her to come back home before He had to take her husband and take her son to take everything else away. What would it take for us to come back home? Are you listening to Him? As we can see here, God can remove some things if He has to. Some things are in the way of following Him. I heard about a man, heard about a man that's called to be a missionary to Africa, or I believe it was maybe India, somewhere overseas, and somewhere dangerous, and he's full of snakes and different things. He's scared of the animals that could hurt his kids. He says he has young children and wife. It's too dangerous to take his family. He refused to go. God called him to go, very evident. God called him to go. He says, I can't go. It's too dangerous for my children and my wife. He said, I can't go. A little while later, his son was bitten by a snake in the U.S. here at home, bit my snake and died. The very thing he's afraid of over there got him here. Safest place you can be is in God's will. You might think it's safer. They had food in Moab. They had a famine in Canaan land. You might think it's safer in Moab. You might think it's better for you in Moab. Wherever God tells you to be is the safest place you can be. God has a way of removing things to get you in His will. Naomi had a lot of things removed before she was willing to come back home. Jonah, swallowed by a whale before he's willing to get right and go back to Nineveh. Naomi lost her husband. She lost two sons before she's willing to come back home. What would it take for us? It's a scary thought, to me anyway. It makes me want to be constantly listening to the Lord, constantly listening to what He wants me to do, constantly listening for His will and His way, constantly looking for His leading and His guidance. How sensitive to Him are you? How are you listening to Him? Notice also, it was Naomi that had to deal with the grief and pain here. But she was not the head of the home. She may have had part in the decision to leave, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us who made the actual decision to leave, but Elimelech was the one that sojourned. I don't know whose idea it was, but Elimelech was the one to blame. He sojourned. He's the head of the home. He takes the blame. But Elimelech's not the one that had to suffer. Naomi did. Naomi suffered grief and pain because her husband made a choice. She may have backed him in. It may have been her idea. I don't know. The Scripture doesn't say. But she took the blame. She took the grief for it. Fathers and your husbands, be careful of those choices you make for your family. Naomi suffered. Naomi grieved. She's now bitter. She's afflicted by God for a decision that her husband made years earlier. If follows you husbands, you better listen to the guidance of God. You better be careful. You better see what God wants for your family, not just what you want. That word afflicted there in verse 21, that word means to spoil, to make good for nothing, to make bad, to make it go bad. She said, I'm empty. I've lost everything. Lord has made me spoil and made me go bad. I'm worthless. I'm happy. I left happy and blessed, and I'm coming back empty and worthless and no good for anything. That's what that word there means. You young people, older people too. Young people, you better seek God's face for every decision in your life. You young men, you plan on getting married someday. I hope you plan on getting married someday to a woman. You better decide now to follow God's will. Decide now. Start following God's will now. Don't wait until you have a wife and kids and everything else on you, weighing on you. Decide now. Start making choices now. Young ladies, you as well, make choices now. Learn to make godly decisions when you're young. Wait until you have a wife and kids to start following God. It's not going to be very easy. It's going to be near to impossible. You fathers, coming back to that again, you better seek God's face for every decision you make. You mothers, you have to make decisions too every day. You don't get off the hook that easy. You have to make decisions every day. You better be careful. Especially if you have kids, those little eyes watching you, every decision you make, every words you say, they're listening to you and following you. Every action you do, they're following you, copying you. You better be careful. You're affecting other people. Be careful. Seek God's face. Seek His will. Listen to Him. Or else unless you turn sooner, you may end up looking like Naomi, coming back bitter and empty. We see her sorrowful retribution. Lastly, the good part, we see her splendid refreshing. Verse 22. Say, Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her. For she returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And I love this verse here. It's a turning point in this book. It's a turning point in the life of both Naomi and Ruth. Yes, Naomi got out of the will of God. Yes, she did wrong. She was backsliding on God. Yes, Naomi waited way too long, and God had to strip her of everything she had before she came back home. The Almighty afflicted her. Aren't you glad it's verse number 22? Naomi returned. Yes, she did wrong. Yes, it was bad. Yes, she's running on empty. But she returned. And God let her return. And Ruth, the Moabite, is with her. Notice the next part. It says, which returned out of the country of Moab. They returned out of Moab and came to Bethlehem. Out of the world and came to the will of God. Out of sin and came to the Spirit-filled Christian life. They got things right. Aren't you glad that you don't have to continue to live in sin? You can get things right. Aren't you glad that God is a God of second and third and fourth and hundredth chances over and over again, allow you a chance to get things right? Aren't you glad Naomi's story doesn't end down in Moab? Yes, she did wrong. Yes, she lost everything. Yes, she came back empty. But she returned. God let her come back. It says, and she came out of Moab, and she's coming into Bethlehem. Notice this simple, non-significant last phrase here. Is it really that important? Of course it is. It says, in the beginning of barley harvest. What's the significance of that? Naomi, she sinned. She did wrong. She was backslidden. We've covered that. But God saw that she was going to get right, and God said, you know what? You can come back and barley harvest. The Almighty afflicted her. He afflicted her. He took things away from her. He said, I know Naomi is coming in empty. Let's make it harvest time. I know she's done wrong. I know she's going to come back empty. Let's make it where she's going to be okay. Let's fill her up. I know she's coming in empty. Let's make it harvest time. Let's fill her back up. No, we serve a good God, church. He's holy. He's perfect. But He still loves us, even when we've done wrong. Even when we're wrong, He has to afflict us and get us right again. He turns around and He blesses us anyway. Naomi is running on empty. She's coming home just in time. I don't know about you, but I don't believe in coincidences. She came home at the right time. I'm glad God has good timing. Naomi didn't have land or crops to grow anything. She didn't have to. She came home barley harvest. Is there anyone here today who's been backslidden and you got right and God had blessings waiting on you there? Aren't you thankful for that? Notice she didn't get the barley in Moab. Naomi had to come to her senses. She had to lose some things. She had to get some things right, get back home. Oh, but when she did, Lord started blessing her immediately. She walked into a harvest immediately. As soon as she got things right, Lord started blessing her again. You can always find God's blessings in Canaan land. I told you before, Canaan is a picture of Spirit-filled Christian life. You want to find God's blessings, get right with Him. Don't always work that way. You mentioned that this morning. Job was perfect and upright. He still had trials. But this time, God decided to bless her. Maybe you're back Sunday night. Why don't you just come back to Canaan land? Why don't you get up and get back to the center of God's will again? Why don't you sell out to God and give it up and give in to God? What is it you're holding on to in Moab? What is it you're unwilling to give up for God? Just give it to Him. It's time to come home. Anybody running on empty tonight? Anybody feel like you're just losing it? Feel like everything you have is falling apart around you? Maybe it's time to check up. It's time to listen to Him again. Quit making your own decisions about where you should go and how you should act and where you should plant your home. They didn't work out very good for Elimelech. Listen to the Lord. You ever been on empty before? Maybe you're not now. Maybe you've been before. Aren't you thankful for God's forgiveness? Aren't you thankful for His mercy allowing you to get it right? But not only stopping there, not only to show you mercy, but He shows you grace and lets you show up in the barley harvest and blesses you again. Aren't you thankful for second chances? Time to come home. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for giving us, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, thank you for Scripture. Lord, thank you for blessings in my life. Lord, thank you for giving us second chances. In Jesus' name.